Now, moving from the surf to into the boardroom, meetings, they're a staple of most workplaces, but are they actually an effective use of our time, or is it time to ditch them? A recent opinion piece in Stuff by organisational psychologist Dave Winsborough caught our eye, arguing that meetings would be more productive if we had less of them. I think I would have to agree with him there. Jane Canally is the General Manager of Workplace Wellbeing with Skills Consulting Group, and she joins us now. Does anyone, kia ora, Jane, does anyone enjoy meetings?
I think some people do when they want to fill in their day.
Yeah.
But most people, actually, I think, you know, the pendulum swung. In the early days during COVID, it was like, gosh, we've got to communicate. We need to meet online. We need to get everyone together. And now as time's gone on, I think, you know, Zoom fatigue and Teams fatigue set in. And people are just kind of over it. And they are feeling incredibly disengaged when these meetings just go on and on and forever and ever, day in, day out. So I think it's time that we rethought it. I agree with the article.
Mm. And how do we rethink it? I mean, obviously, we've got to have some meetings. What are the most effective ways to communicate?
Well, look, actually, there's quite a few sort of clever ideas that are out there, but most of them make quite good sense. I mean, short and pithy, to the point, is good. Is organisations who have certain meetings before 10 o'clock in the morning or after 3, between 3 and 4. There are organisations that have meeting days meetings that are banned on certain days. For example, Wednesday might be the day off the meeting agenda. So that just lets people get on and do some pretty sort of detailed work and some thinking work instead of being in and out of time slots. And the other thing I think I've noticed is that meetings seem to all go for an hour. And honestly, I think sometimes we're pretty pressed to fill in that time slot. So half an hour meeting slots is a good way to go. It's good to have a timekeeper. It's great to have an agenda. Otherwise, is it really a meeting? Can you call it a meeting if you just rock up and want to have a chat? I think a positive tone is always really important. But, you know, with the great resignation that's happening at the moment and the general burnout and stress that people are feeling, good employers will be looking for ways to actually reduce the terrible meeting fatigue that everyone seems to be suffering.
Mm. They can have an effect on our well-being, can't they? Meetings, you know, numerous meetings a day.
Yeah, they do. Because often they're back-to-back. There's no breaks. You don't get up and have a chance to have a walk around. And the thing we did find with one particular piece of research is that people were generally working an extra 48 minutes on average a day. So these meeting schedules are actually going into sort of off-work time as well. So I think, you know, a committed effort to try and be pretty succinct, drive the points home quite quickly. Make sure preparation is done before the meeting. That's a big one. Send out the papers, et cetera, et cetera. Get into some good habits. And you'll find that you can actually start really seeing people's shoulders drop. They learn to breathe. They're not anxious. I mean, part of it's about this whole notion of being on the whole time and feeling really anxious that they're on, you know, they're performing well and that they're doing a great job. And it's just about relieving that pressure and just giving them a chance to breathe.
And the problem is, and I certainly find it in various jobs and contracts that I do, is one person always tends to dominate in a meeting. How do you get around that?
I was thinking about that myself before I just came on air with you. And, you know, I think we need to have two things. We need to have the meeting organiser who keeps things on track. We've also got to have, this is actually a Singaporean idea from a bank over there, the joyful observer to make sure that people just aren't getting dragged down. But to me, the joyful observer is also a little bit of a keeping an eye on the time because you do get that dominant character and they do go on and they go off point and you don't want to be sort of like rude and go, hang on a minute, we're not going there at the moment. We're meant to be talking about this. I think it's a technique that some people use maybe, but it's a good one to stamp out. And you just do that by setting the rules of engagement up front, saying, right, it's time. We're going to get through this. Mm. And by the end of the meeting, this is what we will have achieved.
Mm. Someone's just texted in, tight agenda and competent chair stopping irrelevant chatter. I love that. Mark, are you allergic to meetings? A little like
oh,
me?
My God, yes. You get those interminable meetings. I tell you what, I did a farewell function like a This Is Your Life, a guy called Brian Gibbons, who was CEO of the AA from its inception in 1991 as a national organisation right up until this year. And he, apparently, he was a brilliant CEO. And the reason was he used to delegate. He wouldn't have to have heaps of meetings over there. He delegated, and his great thing, I was listening to the people talking about him, any report given to him had to be only one page, and especially if you're going into a meeting to discuss it, one page. So the idea was exactly what James talking about. Keep it quick, keep it focused, and don't drag it on. We've all been there where you're just falling asleep in the back of the room. less meetings, more life.
Yeah, and you agree great, Leone. Jane Canali, thank you so much for joining us on the panel today. And thank you very much to Leone and Mark. Have a great afternoon and great evening. A Checkpoint is up next. Thank you for having me in your living rooms today.